sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Good evening, everybody. This is Will Blue Otter, your co-host. Grandmother Abril Mondragon just got home a few seconds ago, and she's a little winded. So thanks to some good forethought on the part of our producer, Mac Boogaloo, we're going to play the Hopi Cry of the Earth, and we'll see everybody in just a little few seconds short of 1.5 hours. So we'll be back soon.
Thank you for coming here this evening to me as one of the interpreters since 1948, the fulfillment of our ancestors and leaders in 1948, 89, 100 years old, who had firm belief that someday we as human beings, children as mothers, will come together like this. And that said, they said that there'd be a house of Micah standing on eastern land someday. That means foreign government come on our land, put our house on our land, talk about human rights, equality, and justice, but has never opened the door to the native people in this land. So they told us to knock on doors 4 times we have to. That's a final number. So last December, I knocked on the door. And I was very happy that members of the United Nations and other individuals, organizations, and help us to bring this to fulfillment. So I'm very happy to be here to see it. I'm very happy to see you people who are here today have been chosen by Great Spirit to bring this message to the brothers and sisters from across the country, and who have means to correct, change, and stop this wrongdoing we're talking about today, so that this will not happen in the future. But begin to purify our land for our children that come after us. And I'm very happy that Keshawa Shiuma, who was a firekeeper and member of that Yakima, who was a peaceful man, nonviolent man, and he wanted to be Hopi. He wanted to speak his language. He wanted to live like Hopi way, teach his own children Hopi way. And his son was keeper of its own tablet that he had. And now, guess which humor is a custodian of that sacred stone tablet, but isn't kept in the Fire Clan Society. And I'm very happy that others were here, member of the Katina Society, and I'm very happy that it would be hard to find somebody to speak at the United Nations or House of Micah when time comes. And I'm very happy that these men were willing to come and willing to volunteer to bring this message. And I will only interpret the message, but I will have something to say tomorrow. Thank you very much. And the interpreter mentioned our name here, and of course, my people call me Martin Keswishima. And we are here today to bring some of our known prophecies that Hopi knew about. And we came from Hopi land to bring this message to you in this assembly today. We will give you a few of our prophecies that's known so that when you hear them, we may begin to start working for the betterment of all human beings on this earth in the future. We came somewhere referred to underworld, where life was like this, but life becomes so corrupt, greedy, and everything went wrong, turned away from the law of great spirit. So we, who remember some of these things, ask someone for permission to come to this new land and life. We know there was someone here. So after his receiving his permission, we came. And we made an oath that we will live simple way that he has. And when we came, Great Spirit met us. And then we met a lady referred to as Spider Woman. And she gave us instructions and food and many things that we need to know in this new world. And of course, the people want Great Spirit to be our leader, but he refused. But he chose the leaders that the group will appoint, and then they will be given more instructions as to how to live on this earth, this land, this Mother Earth, they call it, so that this world will never be destroyed. The corn, different size of corn is placed before their leaders to carry wherever they go as their food. And the first one pick up the longest ear of corn, and then at the last, the small corn, and the Hopi received that, and that was a real corn. The rest of corn were sort of imitation. So whoever picked that up, that would be their main food wherever they go. But Hopi received the real corn, just very small corn. Instruction was given to the leaders that was appointed by a group that were there, and they all agreed that they would leave a simple way the Great Spirit was living, and they're willing to adhere to his instructions. They were given instructions as to how to take care of this land and life. And they were to go to different directions and to build their homes on the rocky mesas and build out native stone so that it will last for a long time. And they must adhere to the basic instructions as to what the Great Spirit gave them on a spiritual level. But he knows that there may be some will turn away from later, and they may have to correct them later. And they built these houses in different directions. They built their homes and settled down and then set up their own spiritual foundations. When they came into the area where the Hopi people are now located, they knew that there was a great spirit, we call him Masawa in our language, moving around here and there, and he met them there. And so there were some other being there that knew that he had the power and authority to do many things, and as he followed his footsteps, the Great Spirit has lost some flower, violet flower, that he had in his hand and dropped them. And then a horned toad came, picked it up. When he asked him for flower to return to him, he said, no, I'll just keep it. Because later time, other people might do something to you and cause you trouble. And as long as I have this flower, I will help them. And later time, as I have the headdress that made from very strong, like a metal or iron, that cap, that I will be the one to help you in later time. The people asked Great Spirit Masawa, when they faced him, they asked him where he lived. And he said, I live over here, close by, called Oraibi. And he called it Sip Oraibi. And to the Hopi people who consider many of these statements, meanings, consider that that rock was made so permanently like a metal or iron that melt together and become a very, very strong rock point that's where he lived, Sip Oraibi. As we say, they have moved out in four directions with his instructions. The knowledge the Great Spirit has is how to take care of this land and life wherever they go. And then some of them went to four directions, but they're coming back to that area looking for the real leaders who knows this and understand this. And so they want to be with them. So they're all coming back into an area called Oraibi. The leaders came to Great Spirit, and of course, they asked him to be a leader, but he knew within the heart of people there that some of them are not going to follow the instructions. Some are going to do something that's not in line with his laws or rules, spiritual ways, and they might cause trouble in later times. So he said, I will not be a leader, but you will be a leader for your people. And I will instruct you how to take care of this land for me. So each nation leaders were appointed, and they were to take care of their people wherever they go, follow the instructions, and that they may be able to follow very closely the instructions were given to them, or they might be doing something else. So he gave them a choice which way to go, whether to follow him or do something else. Many people came back to the Hopi area looking for the real leaders who have this knowledge and the power. And they would ask them before they admit them into the pueblos or village, what kind of religion are you bringing here? And they will have to tell him what it is that they're bringing. And sometimes they have to be tested out to perform ceremonies. And the big gentle rain came, then he knew that they are sincere and they will bring a good life to the people there, so they let him come in. Those that are boastful and will not put aside their destructive things, They were sent off to other place. They're not admitted into the village. So many good people like we refer to as a common or grassroots people, came into the village. If they admitted in there, they will help whichever way to keep that life and clean and beautiful and lasting. And because it's the Great Spirit that's giving them instructions, and they are to live a long time. So many spiritual instruction was given to each group that came so that they will know what they need to do and so that they can take care of this land and life in a proper way so that there be no destruction to this things on this land, Mother Earth, and so it will be a lasting thing that this spiritual instruction was given to them for that reason. Then if life become corrupted again, like at other places, and turn away from their spiritual instructions and warnings and prophecies that was given them, and create problem for themselves and others, then it may be that the Great Spirit will have to step in, because as he said, he gave them all this knowledge, prophecy and warnings, and instructions, spiritual things. You live this life so they have a long, good life. But if they turn away from it, then he says, I'm the first to give you all this knowledge, prophecy and warnings. If you live a good life, and later I will come back. But if you make a mistake or make trouble or mess up this life, then I will have to come back at the other end and help purify, clean up this mess in a later time to help you make life beautiful, clean again. So they live a long time as they follow the spiritual instructions and set up their sacred areas, and every day they go out to do what they can to provide food for their families, and they live a long, good life there. So in their sacred areas, because we call them kivas in sacred centers, they teach each other and younger generations about all these spiritual instructions, warnings, prophecies, and they go through a ceremony, so they experience something that if they do not do things right, something happens to them. But if they do something right, things will be good. And that is what they are carrying on in Hopi area. While they were there, they knew the prophecies that someday some other people come that will have a lighter complexion. We call to a white complexed person that will be coming to them someday. This white brother who came is a very intelligent person, and he can invent many things. He is able to write things, and he will bring many things that's supposed to be a benefit to the Hopi and many native people in this land. And if they misuse that again in later time, that those are the things that may create trouble for us. And so they know these prophecies from way back, and it seems now that we are facing those problems here today when our white brother came. So a white brother being an inventor, he will bring many things that's supposed to be helpful, but he will misuse that. Right now we see many machinery used for destructive purposes. And it may also a time when he will take many resources and turn it into more destructive ways and purposes. And that is going against the law of Great Spirit, law of nature. And then he will try to grab all the many resources or land from the native people with the power that he has built. And it may be that he will create more problem for all the living beings on this earth by doing it. And then he may also invent a carriage that we pull by with animal first and later run by itself, and then he will have power to create what he called road in the sky. That means airplane, where people will be traveling. And all those things were known, that when something that they know happened, then we know we are into a critical moment that we have to do something else to survive. The life we are going to face is very similar to the last stages in last world. Everything went without spiritual ways, and they misused the power. And as someone mentioned here from Six Nations, a woman, that it's known to the Hopi that women be changed into like men, and the woman's going either dress like men, and they will also do something what men are doing, and eventually some of them just going to strip almost naked. Women, we're running around here, and we're getting into this period that many problems are going to be created there, and these are something known, many other things that's known to the Hopi. It's happening today. We know that life will be so terrible because so many new inventions and new gadgets coming into the people, Hopi and other native people in this land, seemingly good, but they're turning off their spiritual ways. Their moral principles are being neglected, and they're just going out for a good time and going. Actually, Koyaanisqatji means like a crazy life. They don't know why you're doing this and that. And we are going to, we're not listening to anyone anymore. But they said there'll be a house of Micah standing on this land someday where leaders who know and understand and believe some of the spiritual things might be here, that we have to bring it here to give them a chance to correct, change, and stop these things so that this will not go on forever. We know that we are going to run into all these problems that's created by human beings or misusing the power that they invented and turn away from their spiritual ways, that when we bring it to this body in the house of Micah, there should be some leaders here understand this, really believe in their spiritual ways, really trying to live a good life for and bring about better life for their own nations, people that they represent, that maybe we can get together and look at what we're doing with these new inventions that you hear, instead of running around crazy-like. And the Hopi believe that is what going to create this unity, argument, and fighting and quarreling. And once we come together on this and understand the spiritual things, I'm sure, he said, that they will be able to bring about good life for all nations and ever living things on this earth. Most all the nations, all the people have different languages that live around this earth and living on this land, or Mother Earth. If we continue to misuse the power, turn away from our spiritual ways, then this mother, a living being, will shake us up. Big, greater earthquake going to hit us. She's warning us that we are not following the instructions. Great wind, destructive, cyclones, flooding different areas. In some place, it will not rain, and hailstorms, destructive. All these things, nature is going to be warning us, but we don't seem to understand, and we don't listen, and we don't want to correct ourselves. We continue to do things that are creating these problems. So if the people in this House of Micah and other nations that hear us, do not correct, change, and stop these things, then we're going to face much greater problems, greater destruction by nature, and it's going to be very hard to help one another when nature and other things start to warn us very strongly. The reason we are now coming to this house of Micah to bring this message, because our forefathers told us that we must bring this message wherever we may be able to get to, and this government was set up on our land, like Canadian government, United States government, United Nations, and all talking about good life, human rights, equality, and justice. And I think that we are now finally come to this house of Micah. It's our last attempt to bring corrections by this group here. And if they don't, then we are going to face terrible destruction by nature or warnings. We hope to save as many people as possible by bringing this message to this house of Micah. It is known many prophecies to the Hopi that one of them, that today if we bring this message to this body, who have a power authority, who have written documents to correct changes, things that are creating this on this land of the native people, then if everyone turned away from that spiritual instructions, no one correct them, then this land or Mother Earth would turn over four times and put us who are surviving back down, way down under the earth, where we start from in darkness, trying to leave again after that. So I'm asking all of you, the representative of House of Micah, different organizations, and our brothers and sisters from four directions that are here, that know this, understand this, and if you do not correct, change your ways, and go back to the spiritual ways, and really take care of this Mother Earth, we are going to suffer. There's no way we can help each other after this world problem going to be so terrible that nature will not listen to anyone. It's just going to shake us up hard, and we cannot really help each other after that. We know the prophecy that there are terrible things that we're facing if we do not correct these problems that's going on here today. The mineral resources are being ripped off from Native people's land, some places without permission. A lot of Native people are landless, homeless, without help in this place they call home, landless in their own country for some reason. If no one corrects these things, and if we're going to use the power that developed military machinery, army, destructive things, atom bomb, missiles, those are highly developed for money, power, good time. If we don't stop it, we're going to have a terrible war coming. We already have gone through the First, Second World War, and it may be Third World or Fourth World come, and there'll be nothing left because the power is going to be so great that one of those bomb or whatever they develop will drop on this land. There'll be nothing left on this earth. This, we do not like to see it happen. So that's why we came here to tell you to do something as soon as possible to correct these things. Our elders have a firm belief that as human beings, as brothers and sisters coming together like this, instead of fighting, using this machinery, destroying one another every day, we see it today, we should put that aside and talk to us, talk to each other like this. Share the spiritual knowledge that we have from four directions. And maybe out of it, we are going to bring back good, balanced life for younger generation that's coming after us, and maybe for many of us here, we will have a long, good life. And I'm very happy that we are able to bring this message to this body.
Before the people came over to this world, the new world, we were sick. They were sick. Just as today, we are sick from all this corruption. Now we are seeking a way to solve our present situation. This is the last world. We are not going anywhere from here. If we destroy this land, the highest world, which is like heaven, we will be given no other chance. So let us consider this matter seriously, so that this world is not destroyed, so that we can continue to live and save this land and life for the generations to come. Thank you.
Well, call in.
I just want to tell you, for some reason, members of this House of Micah have put those circles up there representing four from east, west, south, and north. From both directions, you look at it. I think this message is right here. All the nations are here. Four directions, people here. And I think it's time that you think about the future that they are talking about, we are talking about, and then we hope that we can save this Mother Earth, the Earth that we're still holding on for all people. This Mother Earth will not be destroyed. It's crying to us right now. Let's stop and turn away all these destructive things and do like what white people put on a rock across the building here. Put all these plush, this instrument, destructive things to plowshares, and study war no more. Thank you very much.
Astonishing. We want to thank Mark Boogaloo for providing that. And our guest, Avril Mondragon, is with us, as is our co-host, Mark Borcherding. And let's see, Avril, would you mind giving Mark your full birth date? Even I can put you in a secret room where you don't have to give it out to everybody. Or do you want to skip your Mayan birth reading? I'm sure you're well aware of it.
Well, I think he has done it for me before, but he might want to just look where I'm at right now. It's up to him.
Sure.
I'm open to anything he might want to do.
Right. He'd need your full birth date. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah.
Well, it might be good to take another look at it just to see,
okay,
you know, if there's anything that's going to relate to the show tonight.
All righty, sounds good. So, do you want to give it to him in secret or in public? Your full birthday.
I'd rather give that privately. Thank you.
Okay, I'm gonna put you in. I'm gonna put you in a room with him right now. Here you go. Okay, folks, and while they're taking care of that, here's. Here's a little message. Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now. And Mark and Abril are back with us, and take it away, Mark.
Well, her traditional Mayan birth is on a day that's called Six Semi. That's kind of the also the kind of goes to the skulls, symbol of the skull. So, and we connect into the crystal skulls, so she might want to talk to our guest we had recently on the crystal skulls sometime. Look at that. The six kind of has to do with kind of testing and things to learn and move or change or transform or evolve into. So it's it indicates ability, things about going into situations which are kind of in imbalance, not balanced, and then kind of learning and working in how to change that, presumably to get it into balance. And that that goes along with the semi or the glyph, which, because it's about, it's a skull, and so it represents kind of the idea of the death and the rebirth. If you look down in Mexico, you see the things with the one of the symbols of the of their Day of the Dead, of the ancestors and stuff, is skulls, you know, with or whole skeletons with flowers on them, right? And that will represent death, but it's also the flowers are life, so the life growing out of the death. So, in a sense, death is the seed of life. So they have the Mesoamerican philosophy is slightly different on their viewpoint of death, and it's a transformation. It's kind of like the idea of the caterpillar dying and becoming the butterfly, and we see the symbol of the butterfly show up over and over too in a lot of places in Mesoamerica. Even the Hopi butterfly is important.
Hey, Mark. Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got real bad static. Well.
Huh?
Okay. Oh, that's better. Okay. Yeah, it was real bad static. It sounds like it's gone away now, though.
Okay.
So go ahead. Yeah, it was real bad. Here you go. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, basically a lot of stuff about transformation and change. And it's probably its primary purpose is to bring about balance, which is something that the Hopi elders talked about a little bit too. And then we'll look here now, switch gears and look a little bit more in the from the perspective of the sixth sun on her birth. And we'll have three components here, forward flow of time, backward flow, and then where two time flows come together. So we'll take the forward flow first, which is the way we normally look at time. And hers is talking about, so this would be kind of from her birth going forward. And hers is talking about things about kind of playing, kind of going along with the flow of the Maya, the illusion of reality, working with supernatural stuff and ancestors, a lot of things that are geared or targeted towards action, doing things, you know, making things happen. And there's also a little bit of partnering energy here of eagle. You know, so to bring in the aspect of the whole thing with the eagle and the condor, and the eagle being, you know, more the northern hemisphere and related more into the aspect of the mind. And, you know, people consider also the aspect of technology of things, but the thinking and thoughts of things. So that's kind of a partnering energy here with all the ancestor energy. And this this kind of has an overall goal of a couple aspects here. One is kind kind of bringing things together, a oneness, like in Lakesh, Omotakiyasana, and stuff like that. That's a bigger cycle of energy that's driving her lower cycles here. And then also the Lamat Starglyph, or Venus energy, showing up too in part of another cycle that's a slightly bigger. And so that's now on the backward flow of time. She has things there relating to, in a nutshell, it relates to truth and balance, which we've already heard about truth, or a balance, I mean, and then now truth is coming up, and completion of things, and moving around or arranging power with that. And it also has some partnering energy here of kind of discipline of things, will, purpose, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, kind of focusing and using core traditional principles to focus with is an idea. That connect back into the thing of we talked about just a second ago about ancestors. And it has a cycle here, next click up, it's about jaguar energy. So I would not be surprised if she's had some jaguar stuff showing up recently in her life, you know, in the last, since 1997-98 onward, something happening related to jaguar. And it could bring in aspects about the balance. And then also the balance, this balancing thing is going to relate to, you know, what the Hopi call the twins at the North and the South Poles. They got the warrior twins, and they're sitting on the serpents, and, you know, whenever, I think in the intro thing, the first 30 minutes, I think Thomas talked about that a little bit, that, you know, they'd let go a little bit, and then, you know, you have weather havoc and earthquakes, volcanoes, other stuff, and then, you know, if you don't pay attention to that, you know, creator just tells them to just let go completely, and then the planet rolls over and all kinds of crap happens, you know. By then, it's pretty much too late. So her reading in a nutshell here indicates, you know, working towards bringing about a balance, maybe, so things like that don't get that out of control. Or this balance and this ancestor energy and stuff comes together, it's another more jaguar thing popping up here again. So, and it's going to bring aspects of moving outside normal realm of time, mystical things, and also this thing about the twins, the polar energy stuff is coming up here again. It's also partnering with the dog energy, which would connect into Quetzalcoatl's partner, Xoatl, in the underworld, the dog that kind of guides people when they pass on and move through the underworld. That's coming up as a partnering energy here to the jaguar energy. So I got some dog and jaguar energy here. And it's related, this aspect, and this is where the two are coming together, the balancing or the doorway or gateway or whatever you want to call it. It has a higher component of visual of it, and it's those aspects looking at it from a higher perspective are talking about liberation of things and tying into prophecy. So most of it, what it seems to be here towards, is really balancing things, you know, and doing things the right way. Very much what we heard in the intro of the first 30 minutes, so what he was saying about bringing about balance is not having wrongdoing, doing things the right way, following the laws of creator, and that will create a balance. So my biggest suggestion probably to her that I'm seeing right here is watch a lot for jaguar stuff, because it's going to be important. Anything that you see that is a jaguar energy thing is very important to, if she's probably already connected into it, but going forward, keep an eye on that, because that's going to be a very important component. Okay.
Outstanding. So, what do you think about that, Abril?
Well, thank you so much, Mark. I so appreciate that, because it's all just affirmation. This afternoon, a woman walked in who was Jaguar, and we were having a lovely, delightful conversation this afternoon. So I'm well aware of most of those things that he's talking about, because I'm living it. You know, it's kind of like all that. So I'd like to introduce myself a little bit here, if that's all right with you, Bluewater and Mark.
Absolutely. Sure. Been looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this beautiful day that we have here. Blessings to Mark and Blue Otter, to them and their families. Thank you so much to the ancestors, those present and the future generations. I'm going to ask for some clarity and that truth, that balance of truth and love that walk together today. While I'm here to share with you, and I want to express my gratitude to both of you for having me here today to share a little bit of deepening with what I'm reading from the Dreaming of Creationing. So my name is April Mondragon, or Abril Mondragon, and I'm Arapaho, Comanche, and Henisaro, and my great-grandmother came to be here in Taos Valley from the Washita Massacre, and she was traded by Bent and the St. Vrains. And so that's how I came to be. That was the Washita Massacre was the major break in my matrilineal line of when I was born into an incredible family, by the way. Of seeing where that break in the egg of creation of ancestral memory, that of that continuity that we are currently healing and transforming from, at the same time our Mother Earth and the cosmos is welcoming in this new age or new world. So I'm related to the Hopi through one family that found me through the dreaming, because I was identified at 6.5 months old as a dreaming person. So my life has been in the dreaming, and I've had my rites of passage into womanhood in the dreaming with Rosa Margarita de Oaxaca, Mexico, who is Nahuatl, Mexica, and Mayan ways. So it's a feminine lineage which I walk. And I'm also was identified at Hopi when I was 7, and because I was so young, it took, and my mother didn't seem to know what to do with that. It took a while for the family that knows me, who are the Spider and the Sun Clan, through the dreaming, to actually send a runner out to get me and bring me back there. So before I go into any more of my personal history, what I want to talk about is the oral tradition and storytelling and the power of that. It's a way to transfer knowledge and understanding with people. However, when we look at prophecies that have been written or recorded or whatever, I always need to consider the translation of the person translating and their worldview at that particular moment in time in history, and their awareness of the construct of the English language. Because those things can, and also from the speaker who is speaking in their own original language. So I grew up listening to the prophecies of Turtle Island and was very aware of this time. And my father, who's Scotch-Irish, which is why I have I'm Henisaro as well, his lineage is about being a keeper of stories or the traditions or the teachings. So So I want to say a little bit about what the dreaming is. We have incredible elders in our world who, through ceremony and through sharing the dreaming through their familial lineages, some of whom I have met in my life or even done a little bit of work, you know, ceremony with them at different times during my life. And I want to express my deepest gratitude for their ability to begin to have enough of an English language or understanding out in the greater part of the world that I can draw on. But I, the reason I say dreaming of creationing is because life is energy, energy is emotion, creation isn't an object or a thing as an English creator, it is in motion. It is living and alive. So I love our younger generation because they really are moving from the understanding place to the inner standing place of the really, really understanding that the our language is also going to metamorph, particularly with the English speaking population, in order to reflect their spiritual growth. So the dreaming is simply, the way I simply explain it, is the inner and interconnected dialogue with all life, be that stone, tree, the clouds, the earth mother, the four-legged, anything and everything. And so a person has their personal dream, their family dream, their clan dream, their tribe dream, their nation dream, the dream of the land that literally birthed them, their birthplace dream. They're made of that earth and sky from wherever they are in that, like what Mark was talking about, where that place is in the cosmological frequency of the dreaming. So there's a planetary, you know, a regional dreaming, there's planetary dreaming, there's the solar tribe dream, there's the milk and honey galaxy dream from whence our Mother Earth was born. She is literally our seed, our mother. She came right out of that milk and honey galaxy. And then there's the cosmological dreaming, and then there is the cosmological beyond that cosmological as well. So I like to say that the dreaming, like imagination, creativity, knowing, historically, and I'm saying his story, has relegated these aspects of the feminine knowing, or in energy and motion, or the emotional intelligence of the feminine, relegated it into fairly the unreal, like the unseen is the unreal, and this is so far from the truth. You know, it's kind of like, how would you like to chop me up into pieces to make me acceptable to you? Is really illogical. And so everything that I'm sharing with you is that I am not representing anyone but my own life-lived experiences in my own life. And that's and I'm a human being. And so when I talk to my relatives wherever they are, whether it's at Hopi or here at home or, you know, with another nation or whatever, I represent that authenticity of being a human being right here in the present, right now. So where we're going to go on this conversation shall be really interesting for me, of what wants to come through in the dreaming of right now. So what are prophecies? Everybody talks about prophecies. Prophecies are literally our ancestors' ability to see over the horizon of not only themselves, but humanity. And right now, you know, it's kind of like in the dreaming, we're running a variety of different movies. So we can either choose to live the prophecies by which our ancestors have foretold, that have said through all their knowledge, their sciences, their life ways and wise ways, which our ancestors have lived, giving us, sharing this through the oral tradition and through written text and through the ceremonies that are passed from generation to generation, that this is the time of a new world, this brand new world, a world that we have been promised the one great peace. so we could either choose to run a movie of back and forth with destruction and keeping old paradigms and models alive or not. So when I'm sharing with you, I also would say question everything. If it sounds like some truth that's yourself says yeah to, or if it's in question, you can just put it over there, investigate more of yourself, question everything. If it's of benefit to you, I'm so grateful. If it's not, I'm not here to, you know, ruffle any feathers with anybody. There's enough out there that everyone can, there's so many ways to reach that one great piece within yourself. So the dreaming or visions or lucid dreaming or whatever is that ability of whether we're going to spiritually follow how we're being guided, because the dreaming is such a powerful sense that we have. It is one of our natural senses. It is. I'm not saying that everyone is made like a dreaming society person or whatever. Because it's like I have relatives that don't dream, but they have different navigational ways that they know how to navigate. So dreaming people they're like spiritual navigators, and they're reading. They're reading energy. They're reading. I like what the Kogi say, that everything came from thought woman, you know. And when I heard them say that, I said, yeah, there's the dreaming, you know.
Hey, Abriel?
There's the yes.
Just a little something here. You'll never guess what the Hebrew word for prophet is.
What?
You know, sometimes you wonder where words come from. The Hebrew word for prophet is Navi. Interesting. N-A-V-I. Just like in navigator. I know, it's weird, isn't it? But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I didn't know that was the Hebrew name for that. But yes, the English, it's like you really need to go look at the English words and go back into the history of them before they got changed. It's like the word glamour girl in the Middle Ages meant someone who could create beauty, and then it changed to midwife, and then it changed to witch.
Wow.
By the dominant culture. So we have to really look at how in the most recent, let's say, that the most recent 1,000 years, but this imbalance that we've been experiencing in the world has been going on for about 5,000 years. And I've heard elders, sometimes they say, well, everything swings from one extreme to another. And I'm going to talk about the mystery egg and the butterfly and the danza de la mariposa in the context that the perception of time and space is not linear. It's actually pulsing. So if we're pulsing energy like the heart pulses, that linear, it's our own perception that may want to go from one extreme to another. And I think we've run the movie of extremes on this planet. It's like we have reached the end of an age, most definitely. I think most people can agree to that. So, do you want to ask me anything, Blue Water, before I can ramble on into other areas here?
Oh, well, what we can to do is, if we have any listeners that might want to ask you a question, they can give us a call. The call number is 347, and it's on the screen right in front of you, 347-996-3318, or they can just click on the little blue Skype symbol. It's right there near the middle of the page that you're listening. No, I think you're doing a real good job. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Okay. Because I'm going to go deeper in this, because I told people last week after they listened to Ho Hong speak. And so Ho Hong, when I had left the Eagle Quetzal conference and I went over to visit my Hopi relatives over there, and we were talking about the mystery egg, and I had them listen to that. And so I want to reiterate that they couldn't find something, and I said, well, how about listening to this? We were asked to record this for Ho Hong, and I agreed to be a caregiver of that for him. And the way I experience most of the time when I hear the prophecies being spoken of, as in most nations, there is usually a spokesperson for different things, and it's usually a male. Okay. So I feel like there's a great movement of energy to bring the divine feminine out. And so I'm stepping out and saying, well, this is the feminine voice of what my understanding of this, some of these things are about it. So if perception creates motion or change, when we think we live on Earth and not with her or within her, we think ourselves are unique or separate from everything, from our Mother Earth, and we're not. We allocate like things to be like other animals or trees as being separate from us, rather than we are naturally part of nature. So that's part of the reason why I was talking about the dreaming and the senses, and that we are this energy in motion, and this consciousness in motion. So I want to maybe jump over here to talk a little bit about the mystery egg teachings, where Dan Hezema, spiritual leader, eldest elder, Greasewood snake priest, roadrunner, clan society father, and Kachina father, he said the final stage called the Great Day of Purification has been described as a mystery egg in which the forces of the swastika and the sun plus a third force symbolized by the color red culminate either in total rebirth or total annihilation. We don't know which, but the choice is yours. War and natural catastrophe may be involved. The degree of violence will be determined by the degree of inequity caused among the peoples of the world and in the balance of nature. In this crisis, rich and poor will be forced to struggle as equals in order to survive. So when I've read that to other people, or when they listen to Ho Hong sharing, one of the first things that I want to mention is that the Hopi, by their cosmological time, we have already lived through four worlds. And if we just look at the instructions of from the third world coming into the fourth world, what those instructions are, and it's like we can listen to what our relatives say, but unless we take them within ourselves and live that, of really living, going in and saying, what does this mean to me? When the four people came up from the Sipapu, when they came up from the Sipapu, and each one of those corn that they chose designated those four original tribes of people, you know. And what does it mean that those original people there from the last world said, we really want to live with you, Masao. And Masao gave them the instruction that you need to go around the full, understand everything around the whole medicine wheel. The whole medicine wheel. And we know that each one of those original people are caregivers of various responsibilities and knowledge in each one of those directions and each one of those colors and each one of those medicines in each one of those directions, depending on where they are in the world, is going to define how that medicine wheel is for them and that relationship. But they still need to go around to each place on that medicine wheel in order to come to that center where the above and the below are one, to unlock that mystery inside themselves and be able to stand in those seven directions. So here we have the movement that is going around not only the cycle of life, but the cycle of time and with each other. It's like bringing each one of those four original tribes back together again to bring that knowledge into that one place that of inner standing within ourselves, so that we can be at peace with each other and all life. So when I think about the three symbols, and it's quite well known that most people read it as there's the swastika, which is the earth wise or moon wise motion counterclockwise, and the sun wise motion is the sun symbol. And they drew it in a different way than the swastika. They drew a circle with the rays of the sun out there. And then with the symbol of that cross with the symbolized red. Well, most of us read everything separately, like words on a page. It says this word and this word and this word. Well, if I read that all together, it comes to that one symbol, which is the symbol of the butterfly. And it is a pulsing energy. And also, it is that which is the ancestral memory, which is what we're made of, our DNA, our everything. So that is to me that symbol, you know, what that means to me. Now, what people may, there were other symbols that they referred to as hats, you know. That people would come with hats, you know, and that's I'm not going to speak on that one. I know what it means for me, but I want people to just kind of look at what that means. So if energy is pulsing and our Mother Earth is made in balance and harmony, we're going to talk about those serpents again that Mark referred to. So we have the North Pole and the South Pole, and those two go in counterclockwise and clockwise, depending on if you're on the outside of Mother Earth. There, that spiral in the North Pole is going to be turning one way, but if you're on the inside of Mother Earth looking out, it's going to be the opposite way. So we continue to see this same motion of both clockwise and counterclockwise in our lives. So if we are at the equatorial zone, or at the inside of our mother, right in her heart, or I would say it's her womb, it's going to be, if I can find that place inside myself as well, because everything unseen or everything outside of us is inside of us. So in the same way as if there's pollution out there, there's pollution that we want to let go of or heal or transform for ourselves. But being energetically in the center of, let's say, the Mother Earth, and there were changes to come, okay, I would much rather be in the center than I would be on the exterior where it's swirling, if you get my drift, because what the energy is of those twins, the serpent twins, when they played the ball game, is they're talking about energy, because they went into the quote-unquote underworld, or the inner world, to slay whom were the who had murdered their father. So what those aspects are of yourself that are no longer serve the greater good of life need to be considered by each individual. Some people could say it's ego, some people could say it's greed, malice, you know, all that, war, conflict, whatever. So, but that energy that they're working with, and what their goal is to come back up and get that ball through this hoop. Well, for me, as a woman, that hoop is the birth canal. That's from one world to another world. So our own energy as human beings, that energy, that life source energy, moving that life source energy through to our own metamorphosis, our own transformation, our own enlightenment, awakening, whatever you want to call it. And in so when I talk about each world, we already know that we have in our most recent history, the Great Flood. Everywhere on the world has had the Great Flood. And we have known that each world has had its own ecosystem. So we have talked a lot about, during my whole life, you know, our elders, bless their heart, have opened the way to talk about the connection between heart and mind, and that we're actually, and that the heart, Dr. Lee Brown says the heart has its intelligence. We actually think with our heart before our mind. So that connection of the eagle-condor connection is enormously positive, and we need to have that. However, I also want to add that, you know, we're talking about our heart and mind, but for us as human beings, from the unseen world to the world of form, our mother is going to change. But we, if for us to evolve, what, are we going to forget everything below the heart? We can't. So I want to talk about the egg itself, that mystery egg. Because a woman's egg, Tata Ricardo from El Salvador, this is many years ago, I was met him. He'd come up from El Salvador with his wife. And he said it so simply. He said, everything can be learned from nature. Everything. So when I look at my, so what is the, if I don't know something about myself, then I'm going to go inside myself. I'm going to learn about how I'm made. So a woman's egg has metamorphic imaginal cells. The first time it splits apart, it creates earth and sky. Okay, in the same way that Mother Earth is earth and sky. Everything can be seen around that. So our Mother Earth has, she is that seed, that egg, that has been dancing this incredible marriage and love dance with Father Sun, the Grandmother Moon, and the cosmos for millions of years. And we as humans have forgotten that greater relationship with her and ourselves. So everything that we know, it's like the Kogi were saying, thought, woman, or a luna is what they call her, I believe. The same way with Spider Woman, she who weaves the creation, that beautiful tapestry and garden of creation. The divine feminine is the birthing energy. And so when I talk about balance and harmony amongst human beings, I liken it to, if we can look at all women, whether they're babies or they're grandmothers, is all of them being pregnant or they're mothers. That is the way we would want to treat that sacred energy right now to move us into the place of this evolution or the metamorphosis of energy. Because if all of humanity isn't supporting this birth of our new world, because everything comes from the unseen world to the seen, not the other way around. So through the dreaming, if we are dreaming positive and beautiful creation stories, we haven't even gotten a dialogue going right now of humanity about what the next creation story is, because we are still living the prophecies of our ancestors. This is their current movie. That's what we're living. We're choosing to live or not. It's up to us. But what is the creation? What is your creation story, her creation story, and how do we weave this tapestry of relationship, because everything is relational? Okay. I might have to say a poem or something.
And by the way, this is fascinating insights. You know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, the thought of the mystery egg popped into my head, and it was rolling around. So you have my rapt attention. So Anyway, please proceed, and thank you.
Well, I don't know. I might have to read some poetry or
sure.
do something here. oh, I know what I want to talk about. So it's more about the egg. So if we look at recent history, this is just recent history. Let's use Hitler, for example, who was obsessed with creating the quote-unquote perfect race, right? Out of the Middle Ages Western medicine, they came up with in vitro insemination. That really is where it came from, because they were really interested in the perfect race, right? And then we look at the splitting of the atom, right? And what happened there is they split it and created a bomb of destruction. And to me, I liken it like you go on to someone's sacred, you go to someone's sacred altar, and you're messing with somebody's sacred objects there. You know, and we're taught when we're young that grandpa's, his sacred's on his altars. You don't touch those, you know, because that's grandpa's or grandma's stuff. And those carry energy, and you're not supposed to mess with them. That is out of respect. We know that. We were raised like little raising that. We could look, oh, isn't that beautiful? But that wasn't ours, you know. And that's the way I look at the splitting of the atom, is that they went in trying to look outside themselves, to look into something else without a much easier way to go about it is to just look inside themselves to learn about nature. So then now we have GMOs and that whole genetic engineering thing. And then we have the pump and drill and the scraping and the drilling mother's parts of Mother Earth out of her and sucking her oil and all that stuff. Well, what does that really mean to me? When I think about colonization here on this continent and around the world, it's trying to have control and dominance over the egg of creation, control and dominance over our mother, over women, over our eggs. I mean, they defined them, classified them, quantified them, broke our tribes apart, labeled us. All this stuff has happened to us. And what it's done is broken down our sense of being who we are naturally. I mean, like when you come, that pure innocence of who we are when we're born is so interconnected with the beauty of life. And here then we get all this imposed, these ideas, which have been nothing but very violent, and that it has harmed both, not only our women, but our men too, because women, because this trauma, or this trauma drama that is within us, is literally transferred through our genetic memory and through our ancestral memory, through our spirit memory, to our future generations. So it's really our responsibility as human beings to really want to embrace that healing for first with ourselves, because when a woman in her family heals, she heals the past, she heals the first, future, and she heals those around her. In her family, in her clan, in her tribe, and in the nation, all over. There, so the more women that are embracing that kind of beautiful healing for themselves, the men are just going to go, oh, baby, Yahweh. Because once you get to a point, and what happened for me is I finally got to a point where I realized there was nothing they could kill, smash, I mean, as many times as they tried to cut me up or whatever throughout my different lifetimes, they still couldn't take this out of me, how I'm naturally made. So that's really a cool thing, is that no matter what has happened, I'm still here. Isn't that absolutely cool? And I still get to talk to you. So I find that pretty exciting, you know, that at every moment when I talk about healing, every moment is the opportunity to heal. And a lot of people say, please give me healing. Well, something that I learned through my own healing was that, and I'm still healing, by the way, is that it's one thing to ask for the healing. The other half of it, or, you know, the other half of that is the ability to receive it. Because to the capacity we're able to receive it is whether that is called a miracle. Oh, well, I was just healed in 1 second. And and I decided not to pick up that bag anymore. And I've moved on. You know what I'm saying? It's that. It's kind of like that. It's like when people talk about miracles. It's because right in that particular moment, that person was totally ready to receive it, period. Because it's all around us and it's happening within us right now all the time. We're whole. We were created whole and beautiful, and we still are. So, okay, I'm gonna sit here for a while.
Well,
I think I've said a lot, maybe.
Oh well, you've done fantastically, you know, this. What I'd like to do is play a song that was recorded back in 1971. By a friend of mine by the name of Frank Fields. Frank was one of the original lead singers for a singing group called Up With People, and I traveled with them for a year. And it's called In a Sacred Manner I Live. Let's listen to it, and then when it's over, we'll decide what we're going to do next. Here we go.
Hot sun on the dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many.
I was standing about 20 feet away from Frank when he recorded that, and we had never heard it before, And I'll tell you, there was a lot of mouths that were hanging wide open when he got done with that. But and if you'd like to high-five Frank, he's on Facebook under Frank Fields. From what I remember, he's a Cherokee descendant. The Fields family is a pretty prominent surname. But well, we really appreciate you, Abril. I know you're worn out and probably need to relax, but if you have any parting words, we'd sure love to hear them.
Well, thank you so much for having me here, Blue Otter and Mark, and I hope it goes out in a good way. I haven't a clue what I said. I mean, I could tell you a little bit more about my life, but, you know, I mean, hey, we all have interesting lives, so I hope whatever I said is of benefit to someone. If not, hey, it was a good storytelling evening, hey?
That's right.
So I just want to thank you and express my gratitude very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for... again, thanks go out to Mark Boogaloo for making arrangements, and he's our traveling impresario producer now, and he's the guy that's really keeping this thing going. And we met him, I guess, about a year ago online. He has a website called Prophecy Keeper Z. And with a Z at the end, and he's got lots of good audio. But anyway, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for the appearance, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Oh, one last thing that I do want to say,
sure,
is I want to connect this thing, whatever I said, to some of the ceremonies that are going to be happening. I've talked to Benny Blue Thunder or Rainbow Heart Thunder. I just know him as Benny. I knew his elder.
Oh, yeah.
But I think all of our ceremonies, when we can really have that focus and intention for the one great peace, for truth and love walking together, and that metamorphosis of a healthy birth for our Mother Earth, the more we are in harmony with that birthing energy, like it's a joyful thing and not to be afraid at all, we're gonna have a good time, hopefully together.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Mark, thank you so much, and we'll see everybody next week. Good night now.
Hey, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Of the old, so that I